Okay, now Drew said it was just recording. Okay, so I am from Brooklyn, New York. I come from Bensonhurst, which is a very Italian neighborhood, and I come from a very Italian Catholic family. And I was raised, you know, basically really simple life. Was always a very picky eater, loved my pastas, loved my cheeses, loved my breads, and, you know, any Italian food you can possibly think of. So since the day I was born, I was born a dancer. I am a dancer. I feel I would always be a dancer at heart. And my only dream, my only thing I ever talked about in life was as becoming a professional dancer. And since I was 3 years old, I started on that path, and I studied ballet, jazz, tap, everything that you can think of. When it started competing at 9 years old, nationally, just won medal after medal, and it was just really an amazing journey. Went through high school. I got into musical theater. I was singing, dancing, and doing the whole thing. My dream was to be on Broadway one day. And got through college. I was in a really extensive dance program at Wagner College in Staten Island. And I was a sophomore. I was 19 years old when I started having the stomach problems. There was this one summer where I just had really chronic stomach flu, or so we thought, for about over a week straight, which we just thought was really odd. Usually when you get a stomach flu, it lasts a couple of days, and mine just wasn't going away. And so I just went to the doctor, and I really convinced my mom that, you know, I want to go to the doctor and get this checked out because something's just not right, and I just didn't know what it was. I just felt there was something not right. So it was the summer of 2002 when they decided to give me a colonoscopy and check out, you know, what was going on. And they didn't really find anything. They found some scar tissue, which, you know, he said whatever was there, maybe it was a bacteria or something, had healed over. And he said, you know, I hope to never have to see you in my office again. And so I went on my way, and about 6 months later, I was well into my half semester of sophomore year where I started to have this stomach virus again. And, you know, this time we knew it was really bad. Woke up in the middle of the night. I remember the first time where I was rushed to the bathroom, and there was just blood everywhere. And call my mom at 3 o'clock in the morning, hysterical, something's wrong with me, what's going on? So it's 6 months later, and they go and take me back to the hospital, another colonoscopy. And this time he says, well, I have good news. But the good news is that it's not Crohn's disease, but it's ulcerative colitis. And I was like, okay, great. What does that mean? I didn't even know what that meant or anything. He was like, so we're just going to treat you with steroids, prednisone. You know, we're going to put you on this, you know, fairly high dose for about, you know, a couple weeks, and they'll take you off as quickly as possible, see what happens. And I'm like, all right, fine. So I'm treating this like a stomach virus, like it's never going to go away. So I did that, and it's been a month. It knocked me out. I was out of school for maybe 2 weeks, but, you know, got back on my feet. I was like, fine, didn't think about it. About 6 months later, came back and started again. And I was like, you know, all right, well, maybe I got to do this again. I go back on the steroids. Is this what I got to do? I don't know why. We decided to see a different doctor that was more conveniently located to my house, in which I now live in Staten Island, New York. And this doctor said, well, yeah, I showed up on my test exam, said this is what I have, I have ulcerative colitis, I'm having a flare. And he was like, well, there's nothing, you know, you're just going to have to wait it out. What medication you on? I was on an anti-inflammatory. He was like, well, you just wait it out and see what happens. Worst thing could have possibly done to me. Because he really gave a such a malpractice review, every week I went back to the doctor, I would get worse and worse. And he didn't put me on prednisone. When he finally did, it was only like 20 milligrams, which is a really low dose. I just waited it out. He treated every symptom I had in the world with a different medication. And it lasted about a month and a half until I was pretty much, I had to drop out of college because I couldn't get off the couch. I spent a month and a half on a couch, which was literally 2 feet next to our small bathroom in our living room because I couldn't walk much further than that. Couldn't eat anything, couldn't keep anything down. It would come out in both ends, and I just was pretty much wasting away and dying of starvation pretty much because I couldn't eat anything. And the doctor would just threaten me because, you know, I'm young, you know, was pretty girl, and he just figured, you know, you must have an eating disorder. You know, if you don't eat, he threatened he would put me on a feeding tube and I'll gain 20 pounds immediately. And I said, go ahead, put me on a feeding tube, let me gain 20 pounds. That's not going to stop. I'm bleeding. Like, I was in so much pain. I would go to him every week. I would have an appointment, and I would just cry and say, just please make the pain stop, because I was just in excruciating pain, going to the bathroom about 20, 25 times a day, like every half hour, every 20 minutes. I just couldn't stop. I couldn't sleep all through the night. It would keep me up, and I was just dying. I was down to about 85 pounds, and because I didn't really have much fat on my body to begin with because I was a dancer, I only had muscle, so my muscle was deteriorating. So just couldn't walk anymore. I had to, you know, call from my father a couple times in the middle of the night to take me to the bathroom. It was just a very awful, awful experience. And about a month and a half into this, finally decided, I don't know why I waited that long, but to see another doctor. And we went back to my original doctor, and he was just like, oh, no. So he said, okay, we're going to put you on this new medicine. It's not as bad as prednisone, but it's still a steroid, and, you know, we'll see what happens. Well, if they'd done that about a month earlier, maybe it would have worked, but because they waited so long and it progressed so severely, I was just in very bad shape. About a week into this, I developed this pimple, I thought, that was on my leg, on my ankle, and we thought it was just a pimple, but then it started to grow. About a week and a half into that, the thing grew so much that it got infected, and I woke up in the middle of the night with this high fever, and that's when my mom freaked out and said, oh, my God, you have a staph infection. You're trying to have staph infection. You need to rush to the emergency room. So I'm still not in good condition. They're rushing me to the emergency room over my leg now. What's going on with my leg? And I get there, and they say, this is related to your colitis. And I'm like, what? Well, how is this? This is my leg. This is not my stomach. So apparently it was so bad that the inflammation in my body had gone systemic, and ulcers were forming on my limbs. Just my whole body was, like, deteriorating. This is a condition called pyoderma gangrenosum. It's a secondary reaction to IBD, inflammatory bowel disease patients. This includes Crohn's patients or colitis, ulcerative colitis patients around the world. And it's only about 5% of all patients who have IBD develop this very rare reaction to it. So I was fortunate enough to be one of them. So automatically they're like, we're going to have to admit you. So I go to my doctor that I liked, the one, well, I'm not going to see anyone else, I'm going to this doctor, and that's it. So as, you know, they put me in the hospital on about 280 milligrams of prednisone for 2 weeks. They were taking me down little by little, but put me in there, I mean, that's just unreal. It was all intravenously, and I was just freaking out. Like 85 pounds, I could barely walk, and I got these, like, bleeding ulcers on my leg. It was so bad that I had the hospital doctors, the people who studied to be in med school, come into my room. They'd wake me up, like, every morning to see my legs, because it was so rare of a condition that they never actually seen anyone who has this. You only read about it in textbooks. So come see this now because you might never see it again. So I was the guinea pig of this all. It was fabulous. So they never told me how quite bad it was at that moment because they knew I would freak out, and that was not good for me. But a year later, I found out that I was in such bad condition. I was very fortunate also. My uncle happened to be the head of the anesthesiology department of this hospital, so I'm very fortunate to have a relative of high standard, so I got well taken care of. I know there's a lot of people who aren't anywhere near as fortunate to be able to get taken care of that way, but him and my gastroenterologist would just talk every day about, and they were just so worried about my condition. They didn't tell my mom, it was my mom's brother, so he didn't tell my mom because my mom would be freaking out. My mom was just a mess with this whole thing, and so they would just monitor me because they were like, you know, we're going to have to just take out a colon. Like, just they were just afraid my colon was going to go into just shock, and then you can just die. So they would just monitor me every day, and if the steroids weren't working, then they would just have to go to, like, immediate surgery. Fortunately, the steroids did work, and I was getting better and better, and the ulcers were healing. However, by the time I got out of the hospital 2 weeks later, I just was in a mess. So you're looking at a girl who was in amazing shape, who was the star dancer of really, like, all my schools and everything, and I couldn't even walk. Couldn't how to, like, kind of learn how to walk again, how to build up those muscles, and I was just a mess. My friend said I looked like a lollipop because my head blew up from the prednisone and my body was like a stick, and it was just totally devastating because it was the first time in my life where my body didn't seem, you know, that stereotypical ideal figure. I never had to worry about the way I looked. It was just something that was always there that you kind of take for granted, and all of a sudden I was like a mess, and I was just hideous to look at. If I couldn't look in the mirror, I was just hideous, and it was really just emotionally, this whole journey was just, I can't even explain emotionally how, you know, affecting it was. So, you know, I ended up recovering from this by sacrificing my entire health. Everything I had left in my body of health, because I was so strong, is the reason I got out of this, not because, that if I wasn't as strong as I was, I probably could have just, you know, died. But, and you think going through this experience would have knocked me over the head. No. Well, about a year later, this all happened again. And I found myself right back in the same position, back in the hospital. And this time I found that I couldn't, even though when I went back on prednisone, I couldn't eat anything because I didn't want to change my diet up to this. I was a very stubborn girl, very stubborn and very, you know, I love my food. I always eat. It's not related to food. But a year later when I, you know, went back into this, I, you know, was like, I can't eat anything. I don't understand. It's not working this time. I didn't want the same foods that I wanted. I just couldn't handle anything. That's when I started to, okay, one, I'm not going to keep going back to the hospital every year. This is ridiculous. And I'm like, I'm a telebite to look forward to, and this is not going to hold me back. So I started looking for alternative books, alternative healing methods. And that's when I came across Virginia Harper's book. It's called Controlling Crohn's Disease, The Natural Way. And it's basically an autobiography about her life, her experience, and healing herself from Crohn's disease. Excuse me. So her story just inspired me so incredibly much. So read that book in less than a day, and I was just like, this makes sense. For the first time in my life, I was reading something because, you know, you look into this alternative stuff like, oh, maybe try this. None of it made sense to me. For the first time, I read something, and I was like, this just makes sense. This makes sense to me. And, you know, if this works for her, like, maybe I can do this too. Maybe, you know, I don't really have a choice, but maybe I can do this. This has got to work. So I started I set up an appointment to counselor with her, and she taught me macrobiotics. And it was amazing. First I went there and I was just like, what is she saying? I don't understand anything. I didn't even know how to cook. I couldn't even boil a pot of rice. And I was like, come on, you know, it was just ridiculous cooking questions. I wasn't interested in cooking. This wasn't for me at all. But because I didn't have a choice, and all I cared about at that point was I just want to dance again. So I started doing it, but I really just kind of started substituting things. Okay, so, you know, tried to get rid of my, you know, my other pasta. We tried to get rid of the cheese. That didn't really work too well. Got rid of the meat, you know, or just lessened everything. I started introducing, like, maybe quinoa. I had more brown rice, maybe a little more vegetables. I hated vegetables, could never eat vegetables. So I just kind of little by little started to, you know, just kind of go through her book and just cook some things. Loved the umeboshi kuzu. It was like my life savior. It was the only thing I can drink. And that, you know, just kind of got me through that year. But I still wasn't doing very well. It just got me through college to finish up. And then by the time, you know, the end of the year, I graduated and everything, I was like, okay, I need to do something more than this. And that's when I went to the Kushi Institute, because I needed those cooking classes. I needed those hands-on. I needed to talk to someone face-to-face and just ask all these questions. So I did the Way to Health program. I was there for 10 days. And I had another counselor, Judy McKinney, Judy and Larry. And she was wonderful also. And she just really just put me on this ridiculously strict. She was just very, very, very strict with everything. And this was an interesting experience. I had my consultation with her about a week before I actually went down to the program so I can start as soon as possible. And I was home doing it, you know, whatever it is, just fine. Vegetable, have vegetable. Kale, have, you know, rice, have the rice. But, you know, just ate whatever it was. And by the time that week was over, all of a sudden, I wasn't having serious symptoms. All of a sudden, my symptoms came back full-blown. And I was like, what's going on? I'm eating this. I'm doing this. I'm eating this, like, really strictly. Look what's going on. And it was just really weird. It came on really strongly, and by the time I got down there, it stopped 3 days later. Like, I just stopped going to the bathroom, and I was like, whoa. So that didn't happen, obviously. When you have a flare-up, usually it happens. So it was what I realized now was a detox. I had to go through this crazy detox, you know, initially before you kind of get on back on track. By the time I left Kushi, I was amazing. I was amazing. A month later, I was starting to wake up in the morning and actually jump out of bed. For the first time in my life, I didn't know what it was like to be healthy. I never knew what it was like to actually be healthy. I would get up and be like, hi, you know, it was 6 o'clock in the morning, and I would feel good. My stomach wasn't nauseous. I always felt nauseous in the morning. And I would, like, skip down the stairs, and my mom would be like, what is wrong with you? Because I've never seen you look this way, ever. So I just kept doing that. I kept doing that. I was really strict for 6 months to really heal. And, you know, then, of course, it gets hard. It gets hard. You know, you try to juggle with a full-time job and living in New York City. But I have to say, it's been 5 years, and I'm doing amazing. Haven't been on medication in 5 years, because that year I came off that anti-inflammatory, and that was the last thing I came off, and I was like, I'm never going back on this again. And it's just been incredible. Like, nothing makes sense to me, and I've never felt so passionate about anything else other than dance that I do about macrobiotics. It's just something that I just believe in, just makes sense. It just saved my life. I'm so grateful for everyone I've met who's inspired me to keep going with this, no matter how hard it is, and no matter, you know, how strict you have to be for a time being. You don't always have to be that strict. You know, you can enjoy your life, and it becomes part of your life. It just becomes who you are and the way you live. And you know, I was able to dance again. My whole thing of why I was a pageant title holder and I did pageants was because I had such success with this, and my whole story that I wanted to inspire other people to do the same thing. And I thought, well, I can make if I can give myself a title and go out there and be a spokesperson, maybe wear a crown and look really fabulous, that people would be like, wow, that's fabulous, and I want to be fabulous like that too, and I want to do that. So, you know, I was trying to go for Miss America, but that, you know, I didn't quite get there, but I was able to dance again at those competitions and dance amazingly and be recognized for that. And it was just amazing. I remember the first time I was able to dance again, like, and really dance full out. I just cried, and it was just great. And I'm still dancing. I haven't, you know, yet succeeded my goal of being professional, but I'm still dancing. I'm doing other things, and I'm finding other passions with cooking now, and I'm starting to teach other people how to cook macrobiotic stuff, trying to give, you know, 101 cooking classes, and I sat in my home and I'm starting a Crohn's and colitis support group, and I'm just really so inspired to, you know, tell the world about this and see how many lives I can touch and just give people hope, because you don't have to just settle. Like, I never wanted to settle. Like, I was like, I'm not going to be on medication the rest of my life. I'm not having surgery, because I was not having scars on my body. And I wanted to dance. I wanted to be whole. I wanted to be in one piece. And I wanted to dance. My body is so important to me. So it will never be abused ever again. And so here I am today.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Marissa. Really, what a tremendous story. I'm going to open it up to questions in just a minute, but let me just ask you a couple of things myself. Do you mind if I ask you how old you are right now?
I'm 26.
Okay. And when did you first, how old were you when you first noticed you got sick?
I was 19 when I had my first colonoscopy. First symptoms of something.
And then how old were you when you discovered Virginia's book?
I was 21. It was right after my 21st birthday. After I spent my 21st birthday in the hospital, I was like, I'm going to read Virginia's book now. So I was 21 years old.
And then from that moment on, how long did it take for you to feel back to, or I guess you're feeling better than you were before? Right.
Yeah. I'd like to say that I really started it about a year after I had my consultation with her, right after that Cushy experience. That's when I really would focus on it and, you know, went full force into it. And it took me, like, literally a month or less, or just a couple weeks before my symptoms just completely disappeared. Just completely disappeared. Not even a month, maybe 3 weeks.
Really, just by following, Judy's recommendations, it just happened in a month's time. Is that right?
Yeah, which was the same recommendation that Ginny had.
Right.
Just I wasn't doing it yet. I wasn't ready to do it. So as soon as I made that decision to just go full force, and I was always in contact with Ginny for advice, because I just, you know, she was my inspiration through it, as you know, and support.
That's wonderful, and so that's great. That's really wonderful. And now you do potlucks, and when is the next potluck coming up?
Yeah, I have a potluck coming up on Sunday, March 28th at 5:00.
Okay, and that's held at your place, yes?
It's held at my place, and if you locate the group NYC Macrobiotics on Facebook, if you join that, I send out blasts and invitations and event groups for everyone who joins that, so I know that they're interested in actually attending. And so if you are, you know, join that group, then, you'll be getting notifications after notifications, and they've been really successful and just a lot of fun. I've met some really great groups of people, such nice people, and it's just fun and great food, of course, really great food.
Yes, and you also have a great blog, Cooking Macro the Italiano Way. That's mm-hmm. really cool. So,
well, you know, I never wanted to lose sight of my Italian roots, and once I was healthy enough, I learned how to, you know, incorporate some of those Italian spices and Italian dishes, how to make a tomato sauce without the tomatoes, and just kind of incorporate that into...
Without tomatoes.
Yeah. I still have some... Now I have tomatoes maybe, you know, every once in a while, but keeping that Italian style because, you know, it's who you are. So you gotta stay true to who you are and just... Once you heal yourself, you can really open this diet up to whatever you want it to be. Just get a little creative.
So do you make pizza without tomatoes and cheese?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what do you use in place of the in place of them?
Well, there's this great recipe that you make. Kind of use beets, squash, carrots, some onions, little leeks, and I pressure cook all these vegetables together, and you puree it. Pressure cook for maybe about 20 minutes, puree it, add your seasonings, saute your garlic and onions with oil. You know, I love my olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, and you just kind of give it that little Italian flair. You put it over some udon noodles. I mean, let me tell you, it's the same as pasta, so I love them. And you have a little Italian dish, or you use that sauce. You can put it over your dough. You know, I do. You know, I'm able to eat bread now and actually use real dough. You know, like whole wheat pastry flour and everything. So you can add vegetables to that to make a pizza. Just really get creative.
When you say you're able to eat bread now, is that something that somebody told you that, or did you figure that out? How do you know that?
I knew that that was, you know, really causing my problems. I think over years we've traced my issues kind of back to the liver, and you know, very contractive liver, very young liver. So I often have to really watch my baked products. My chips, crackers, you know, my bread, and how much of that I really take in. And, you know, for a while, you just can't eat any of that. I really find that kind of brings on a lot of my condition. Aside from that, you know, it's extremely hard to digest. So I've learned how to kind of know what triggers my body and how to regulate my body and say, I had way too many, like, crackers today. So, it's, you know, it's all about balance. It's totally all about balance. But, you know, for a while, if I ate that, it would just hurt. It would just hurt my intestines.
Oh, I see. Wow, wonderful. Okay, so now you have this built-in mechanism to tell you when you're off. Yes.
Yeah, and that, let me tell you, just kicked in like maybe less than a year ago. So it really it just takes you that long to really notice that natural yin and yang. You know, just now I can tell like automatically like. Okay, this is what I need to eat. This is what I need to eat today, and this is what I don't. You know, for me, I took the long way. Some people can just jump right into it, but for me, it was hard. It was really hard for me. And I kind of took three steps forward, two steps back, three steps forward, two steps back. And finally, I'm here. I'm here and great. Like, it's great. I studied with Virginia Harper, too, for about 3 months. I went off to live in Tennessee with her. So that's why, you know, it was during that time where I really got a lot more knowledge of yin and yang and really, okay, why? Well, I had a lot of why questions. I wanted to know why this. And I studied with her for 3 months in her center down in Nashville. So that was really great, really great.
That's wonderful. Let me ask you one more question, and then I'll open it up. How was your family about all of this? How was your parents and your siblings?
You know, funny. My mom was just so desperate for me to do anything, so she really pushed me into doing this at first. And I think when I finally decided do it. She was so shocked. And then she was like, wait, are you sure that's the right decision? So now, I mean, she's totally open to it. She's totally intrigued by what I make and what I cook and what I eat and how do you make that. And, you know, she tries to really, like, get into the cooking aspect. I would love for her to know more and take more classes, like go to Cushy, take a workshop or something. But she's definitely open to it. My sister's open to it. In fact, she spoke to me recently about really giving it a full go and doing this to – she wants to lose a couple of pounds, so she really wants to do this full force, which is amazing. My dad's not so much. He's, you know, he's an Italian guy. He's good. And he's, you know, 6 years old. He's stuck in his ways, and he's totally content with the food that he eats. And despite all his health conditions, some people just won't change. And, you know, you have to just accept that everyone has their own decision and everyone kind of has their own choice. So I love my dad, and, you know, he totally respects me doing this. He'll recommend it to everyone in the world and talk about me and how great I'm doing and the stuff I'm doing and what she's teaching now. But he doesn't want to do it himself. So what are you going to do?
And I can relate to that. I have a father who can be stubborn at sometimes. So let me ask you just one last question. How did you see your doctors, and what did they say afterwards?
Well, my doctor, I do love my doctor. I really do, because I have to always respect that he did save my life that initial time, you know, without his guidance. His first doctor tried to kill me. So my doctor basically says now, you know, well, you're special. He goes, you're special, and he just lets me make my own decisions. And, you know, there was times where I was like, I don't know, I might, you know, consider going back on. And, you know, through this healing process, he's like, well, you know, here's a prescription if you need it. If you need it, you don't. Like, just very laid back with me. And he's like, you're just special, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, he says. And just, that's it. He's just, thinks I'm like a miracle. And the thing is, I'm not a miracle. Like, you know, I know this is called Monday's Macro Miracle, but I'm so not a miracle. I'm just someone who really dedicated himself to this and made a decision not to be sick. I made the decision. I want to heal myself, and I want to be normal again one day, and I did it. And make that decision, and it's possible. It's definitely possible.
Wonderful. Okay. Now, I'm going to open it up for questions from our attendees. And to ask a question, if you want to ask a question, press 5-star on your phone, and I will see it where on my end, and I will unmute your call, your line, and you'll be able to ask your question. So right now, I see one question up right now. I'm going to unmute this call from, you'll know. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Can you introduce your name and tell us where you're from and then ask your question?
My name is Marcus Becker. I'm living in Vermont right now.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Welcome.
Marcus,
nice to hear you.
Yes, what are you
doing? I don't really have a question. I just kind of wanted to say thank you, Marissa, for sharing your story. I got a lot out of it. And
thank you, Marcus.
For making this happen.
Great. Thank you.
I'm really happy that you chimed in, and I'm glad you're coming to the potluck on Sunday.
I'm so excited.
Very excited, too.
All right, I'll see you then. Thank you, Fia.
Okay.
Great,
bye.
Thank you. Okay, next person. Whoops. Hello? Okay.
Hello?
Yes,
Amy. Hi, this is Yelis from California. Hi, Marissa, and thank you very much for sharing this. Amazing story, and congratulations on your health. It sounds amazing, between 19 to 26. Oh my God, so many years. Well, it's just amazing. And my question is, besides the nutrition, what other practices did you do? Did you do shiatsu, or did you get any acupuncture besides the nutrition?
Well, yeah, I mean, for me, it wasn't just my dietary. There is a lot of emotional, you know, baggage that I had to release. And through body work, through massages, I did acupuncture, therapy sessions, just getting yourself to release, no matter in what form it is, verbally or just, you know, tension-wise, I just needed to release all this tension. I'm very A-type, high-strung, and just so young. And so, yes, I did need to, it wasn't diets, wasn't enough. I needed to do a release of therapies.
Thank you. And was it directed by your microbiotic counselor, or were you going with intuition?
Yes. Especially Virginia Harper would, you know, she really recommended all those body work therapies for me as well. You know, she was a believer that there's a lot of emotional buildup and issues that sometimes people hold on to and aren't able to let go. And she really recommended that for me, particularly, to let that release. And it helped. It helped me absorb the food easier, actually, because if you say I don't want this food, then you're not going to want it. But if you're ready to accept it, then your body accepts it better. And so that was a big issue for me.
Thank you, Marisa.
You're welcome.
Okay. Next, we have another question here. Hello? Hello?
Hi, I think it's me.
Yes, okay. Say your name and where you're from.
Hi, Pia and Marisa. It's Carrie from Virginia Beach, Virginia. And honestly, I just wanted to really thank you very much. It was wonderful to listen to you. I'm really excited about this Monday night macrobiotic miracles. I can't remember the exact title, but I got a lot out of it, and I just thank you very much. I will be back for sure.
Great. Wonderful. Excellent. Thank you.
Good night, all.
Thanks for sharing that. Yes. Okay, we have another question here. Hello. Hello.
Hi, this is Rosemary.
Yes.
Calling from Florida.
Yes.
Thank you, Marisa, and thank you, Fia, for arranging this. I'd like to hear Marisa talk a little bit about the importance of support and how to create a support system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was huge for me. I think that was the hardest thing for me, too, and I think that's what maybe postponed my recovery and why it took so long, because I didn't have that complete support from my family. I had their support. They wanted nothing more to see me healthy again, but it was just really hard for them to just sit down and eat this with me and really just give themselves. So my support really, I mean, it was huge. Virginia Harper was huge, and I'm actually, another fabulous thing that happened to me was that I've met her son throughout all this, and we've been dating for about 2.5 years, and so he's a wonderful, wonderful man, and so he became a great support system throughout all this, and just finding someone to connect with who believes this and will eat this way with you and will research more and just so passionate about it. So that was huge for me. That really, you know, help me heal even on a deeper level. So, but that's so important, support system. I mean, doing this alone was so hard. I was willing to do it, but it's hard. It really is. Not impossible.
Great. Wonderful. Okay, great. Wonderful. Thank you. We have another question here. Hello?
Yeah, hi. I think it's me.
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, hi. This is Amina from New York.
Hello, welcome.
Hi.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Marisa, for sharing, and thank you so much, Freya, for arranging this. It's been very enlightening, and congratulations on your health. I have a question. You said when you first started the diet for 6 months, you were put on a... Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
You said for the first 6 months, you were put on a very strict diet.
Yes.
Can you share what that diet was? Was it mostly grains and vegetables, or?
Yeah, I mean, when the healing diet for everyone is very individual. For what would work for me wouldn't necessarily work for, you know, you or someone else. Everyone's body is kind of has their own imbalances. So when I went to my consultations, you know, they looked at me and saw me personally of what my imbalances were. Like I had said about the bread, you know, a lot of baked products just particularly made me very, very young. So you know, I had to definitely stay away from anything that was hard to digest. So, you know, bread be one of them. I had to stay away from certain grains even because certain grains are too hard to digest. I had to make sure I soaked my rice really overnight and then cook it with like 5 times the amount of water and make it really soft rice. I had to, you know, do certain remedies because just my intestines were so weak. So really anything that was hard to digest, I just had to stay away from, which is a lot of food. So that's, for me, that's really strict. I mean, I lived on bagels every morning, bagel and cream cheese. That was my breakfast. So for me, anything else was strict. But I really did try to do this. I had a grain and vegetable with breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I kept my pasta in there because that was my, like, relief. My udon noodles. I loved my udon noodles. And just try to eat as many vegetables as I can. So even though I didn't do it perfect, I mean, there's what's perfect. You know, I did the best I could, and I just try to eat as many things as I could, as many of the healing dishes as often as I could, and so that was strict for me because it's hard being in a social environment, especially in New York, especially being 21 years old and trying to eat this way with people being like, ew, what is that? So, you know, it's hard.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you. So I don't see any more questions right now on the board, and it's about time. So I'm going to wrap it up here. Again, want to thank you again very much, Marissa, for joining us.
Thank you, Fia.
Thanks for this evening and for being the first guest of Monday's Macrobiotic Miracle. Now, for those of you who did not get your who have some other questions, you can still post your question on the website. That's fiakushi.com, fiakushi.com/Monday. And you can write your question in the comment section below this evening's post. I'm just going to stop the recording here so that.